Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we've seen how Jesus witnessed to the Jews over and over again, and to his apostles and disciples, that he was indeed God manifested in the flesh. And it's found in the two Greek words, ego, eimi. Both of them by themselves, separately or singularly, can mean I am. So when they are put together, it is an emphatic I am. And when Jesus was talking about himself, it was a declaration of who he was. Now we're going to see some other things where the Greek word ego eimi is used, which also designates who he is and also then tells us the quality of what he does and what he's going to accomplish. So let's begin here in Revelation, the very first chapter, and we're going to see again how the Old Testament and the New Testament connects together, that they fit together like hand and glove made for each other. The truth is, if you take away all the scriptural quotes from the Old Testament out of the New Testament, you lose two-thirds of the New Testament. And when you say, or hear people say, the law has been done away, you get rid of all the Old Testament. So then that's why Christianity today has become so anemic. They're operating at best on one-third of the New Testament, and maybe half of that they won't accept either. It's like many Protestants say, as long as I have Christ, nothing else matters. Well, that's like saying, let's go on a journey, and you get in a car to go, and you never start it. How are you ever going to get there? See? So if any man tells you any of those things, don't believe him. Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Now we've seen that Jesus declared to all the Jews in general, and to the religious leaders specifically, to the high priest, all the priests, and the whole Sanhedrin. That's like being brought together for a joint session of Congress and having the president speak. In this case, it's like the joint assembly of the Sanhedrin with the high priest, and God manifested in the flesh telling them, I am. And yet, they wouldn't believe it. Now, let's come to Revelation, the first chapter. Let's see where the two Greek words, ego, eimi, are used in Jesus declaring who he is. And these have reference to God. So let's come here to Revelation 1 and verse 8. Here's Jesus speaking of himself, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So what this is a reach clear back into the Old Testament, and a reach clear forward into the future, because the book of Revelation is the key prophetic book which unlocks all the prophecies of the Old Testament and gives us a time frame based upon the holy days when these events are going to occur. Now let's see what else he says down here. Verse 11, he repeats it, telling John, who gave him the vision on the day of the Lord, not the Lord's day being Sunday. Some people have even translated verse 10 as Sunday because they don't want to admit that they're wrong and that they should be worshiping on the Sabbath. This verse 10 has nothing to do with a day of worship. This has to do with a day of prophecy, or multiple prophecies leading up to the day of the Lord. Let's read verse 10. John writes, I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, and I heard a loud voice like a trumpet behind me saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, what is Alpha and Omega? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter. Be like an English saying, from A to Z. Okay? Now, this also tells us that God intended and did cause to be the New Testament written in the Greek language, very specifically. And we won't get into the details of that, but it's very important that it was written in the Greek language rather than in Hebrew. Notice what he says. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Then he said, you write in a book what I'm going to tell you, and you send it to the churches which are in Asia. And Revelation 2 and 3 are the seven churches that are in Asia. But that is also a prophetic projection of the churches of God down through time. Let's come over here to verse 17. After he saw Jesus in his glorified form and his face shining like the sun in the full strength, he fell at his feet as if he were dead. And then Jesus laid his right hand upon him and said, verse 17, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Let's just pause here. I am comes from ego, imi. So he's declaring who he is, because God has many names. But he's using the emphatic form here, ego, imi. Even the one who is living, for I was dead, and behold, I am alive into the ages of eternity, amen, and I have the keys of the grave and death. Now, using those words, ego, imi, it's very powerful in telling us what Jesus can do, what Jesus will do. Now, let's go back into the book of John, and let's see some other things where then he emphatically declares a quality of his being and a quality of his purpose. Now, if you have a program that you can use for your digital Bible, you look up how many times in the book of John it talks about believe. And you look up how many times the word if. Now, if is important because that is conditional. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments. Now, we can use that as a guide on our conduct. Do we fulfill that if in keeping his commandments? If we do, we're loving God. Now, if we don't, we're not loving God. We may have a profession that we are, but we are not. Now, let's come to John, the sixth chapter, and here you have where Jesus fed the 5,000. And then the people, they said, oh, let's make him king. He can feed us. Look at this, food. Look at those disciples breaking off the fish and the bread. And they miraculously grow. And so out of the few fishes and loaves, able to feed 5,000 people. So they wanted to make Jesus king. So he escaped and got away. Now let's pick it up here in verse 25, because this becomes very important and leading up to what we are going to see, how Jesus declared about the quality of his ministry and who he was by using ego, imi. Verse 25, John 6, and after finding him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Well, typical of Jesus, he did not answer the question directly. Notice his answer. Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you did not seek me because you saw the miracles, but because you ate the bread and were satisfied." Oh, he knew their motives, so he just laid it straight out for them. So then Jesus makes a profound spiritual point, which went right over their head. "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him has God the Father sealed." Oh, they heard that, still didn't know what to do. Now, here is typical of people. They want to do something good for God. They want to do God's work. Verse 28, "Therefore they said to him, 'What shall we do in order that we ourselves may do the works of God?'" Now notice what Jesus answered. Verse 29, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" Now notice, that is a spiritual work. All too often churches make the mistake of saying, "This church is doing the work of God." No, all ministers and teachers are ministering. They are doing a work of ministry. They are not doing the work of God. God's work, as we will see in other segments as we go down the line with Church at Home, has to do with God working within you with his Spirit. And so this is what Jesus is beginning to convey to them, and they did not understand it. So let's read it, because we come to another section where Jesus uses the two Greek words, ego, eimi. Let's read on. "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform that we may see it and believe it? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread to eat that came down from heaven.'" Now, what are you going to do to top that? Yeah, it's like the television show. Top this. Notice what Jesus answered. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives his life to the world.'" Oh, they still didn't understand it. They thought, oh, those are beautiful words. We're going to get the true bread of God coming down from heaven. And they didn't realize that he was talking to them about himself. So they said, "Lord, give us this bread always." Now notice again how Jesus answered. He told them the truth, but he was telling them a spiritual lesson. And he was also conveying, in a declarative form, one of the functions of God by using the Greek words ego, eimi. Let's read it. Verse 35, "Jesus said to them, 'I am, ego, eimi, the bread of life. The one who comes to me shall never hunger, and the one who believes in me shall never thirst again.'" Now that's the result of conversion. And Jesus, if we are in covenant with him and we keep the New Testament Passover, as he said, on that very night, Jesus broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me." So he was beginning to teach the lesson of the Christian Passover. Let's come to verse 41. "Then the Jews were complaining against him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" Again, ego, eimi. Jesus declared it very simply. "I am the bread of life." Ego, eimi. Therefore, Jesus was teaching them about the qualities of his ministry as God manifested in the flesh. Now let's come to another section here in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Here again, he uses ego, me. Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, ego, me, I am the light of the world. Now, this means you can't find any other way to salvation than Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. The one who follows me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And many people want to have that, but they don't want to do it God's way. But here again, Jesus was declaring the powerful aspect of his ministry through the two words, ego, me. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Now let's go on. Let's come to John, the 10th chapter. This is something. You want salvation? We're going to see. It's only coming through Jesus Christ. It's not coming through different religions. Now, as we have gone through becoming one world religion, men are going to get together and they're going to say, oh, how good we are, how tolerant we are, how understanding we are, how politically correct we are, how we accept everyone with no offense. Remember, Jesus offended everyone. And they think they're going to have one world religion that is better than the perfect God, that is better than the perfect gospel, that is better than the truth of God. Never happened. Let's pick it up here in John 10, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now notice what he says about all other means or methods. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, ego me. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ego me. I am the door of the sheep. Now let's come to John 14. And this becomes even more powerful than we've covered in the past when we're talking about Jesus. Ego me. And let's understand what Jesus is saying. See, you need to realize that you cannot have eternal life without Jesus Christ. Let's read it. John 14 and verse 6. Here's what Jesus said. I am the way, ego me, and the truth, and the life. Now you see, all other religions profess that they have a way, they have a truth, and they have the way to eternal life. But they reject Jesus, or they reject what he says, or they reject his commandments. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, do you understand that? And how do you come to God? God's way, through repentance, through baptism, through love, through obedience. That's how you come to God. People who come to God to try and tell him what to do are sorely mistaken. It will not happen. God will not obey any man. You cannot convince God that you can produce something better to give eternal life to people than what he has done. Because God lives forever. Jesus has the keys of death and the grave. He alone has the power to resurrect. Jesus said, the day is coming in which all that are in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man. And those who have done good, that is, those who love God and keep his commandments, unto life, a resurrection of life. And those who have done evil, unto a resurrection of judgment. Now, there was a time when Jesus and the disciples were out teaching and going about their way, and one of the friends of Jesus, Lazarus, died. And he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And he got word that Lazarus had died. And he deliberately stayed away 4 days to make sure that everyone knew he was dead. And he came to resurrect him back to physical life. But notice what Jesus said. Now, as he was coming, we find that Martha went out, verse 21, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know whatever you ask of God, he will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. She said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Now notice Jesus' answer. See, she had a certain amount of truth, but she didn't understand really who he was. See, so it was hard to even get through the thick skulls of the disciples, though they were willing. Jesus said after he was resurrected, oh, hard-hearted and slow to believe the prophets. Now notice what Jesus said to Martha. I am the resurrection, ego eimi. I am the resurrection and the life. Again, there's no eternal life without a resurrection. Souls don't go to heaven. That is a satanic counterfeit. You do not have an immortal soul. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. And it also says it's given to men once to die, and that means men and women. But Jesus, see, no one is going to be resurrected without Jesus Christ and his calling forth, so they come out of the graves. So that's why he let Lazarus die, and that's why he waited 4 days, and that's why when he finally came to the tomb, he wanted everyone to know that I am, and life can only take place at my command. So when he came to the tomb, he said, roll away the stone. And one of the sisters said, Lord, he'd been there 4 days, he stinks. So they rolled it away, and what did he say? He prayed and thanked God that he always hears him. Then he stepped back and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came back to life. All of these things show when Jesus says, ego eimi. He's showing the qualities of God. He's identifying himself as the Lord God of the Old Testament. He is telling us the truth of the matter of the Word of God so that we can receive eternal life, that we can go to God and repent and have our sins forgiven, that we can be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit so we also can be ready for the resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. So ego, eimi, proves that Jesus Christ was indeed the Lord God of the Old Testament. So be sure and visit our website, cbcg.org. We have hundreds of sermons, transcripts you can download, literature you can download. Be sure and write for the books that I have mentioned. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.